Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page is North Korea, basketball, and missiles, focusing on Dennis Rodman's visit and the potential for a diplomatic breakthrough. Dennis Rodman set out for North Korea to conduct some more of his basketball diplomacy, while the Hermit Kingdom proceeds unabated in testing its missile technology. The basketball superstar, as eccentric of a personality as he is, has managed to cultivate an enduring friendship with the young Kim Jong-un, who is supposedly a big fan of the sport, and that player in particular. Rodman last visited North Korea during the Obama years, on a goodwill visit which many interpreted as intended to jumpstart talks between the two countries. Although his trip ultimately yielded nothing of tangible political benefit, it nevertheless solidified the friendship between the North Korean leader and the American basketball player, which is now being put to use as part of an implied policy of parallel diplomacy. Rodman's trip to North Korea couldn't come at a more sensitive time, as newly elected South Korean President Moon Jae-in warned that the situation is more dire than ever. North Korea has blatantly ignored UNSC sanctions against its missile program and is continuing to test the said technology without pause. It looks like, with each passing week, there's another fear-mongering story in the Western mainstream media about how North Korea is supposedly preparing to launch a nuclear strike against the U.S. And while such yellow press stories are certainly hyperbolic, they still capture the hysteria surrounding the situation. Even so, despite the legitimate reasons that all sides have to be alarmed, there's still a chance, however slim, for a breakthrough to occur. Rodman's trip coincides with North Korea releasing an imprisoned American student, proving that substantial diplomatic efforts have been ongoing behind the scenes between Washington and Pyongyang. Moreover, South Korea announced that it is delaying the deployment of the U.S.'s THAAD anti-missile system until a full environmental assessment is conducted. This temporarily lessens the pressure on North Korea, but also on China and Russia too, which are seriously concerned that the Pentagon is using Pyongyang as a pretext to diminish their nuclear second strike capabilities. Therefore, Rodman's parallel diplomacy is taking place at a special time, when a brief window of opportunity has opened up due to the alignment of several factors and the presumed willingness of Pyongyang to peacefully settle this dispute.
Trendstorm.
So folks, starting off this last section of Trendstorm, we are joined by Mr. Bevin Chu. He is a former columnist on Sino-U.S. relations for LouRockwell.com and Antiwar.com, who is also the son of T.K. Chu, former vice ambassador from the Republic of China to Saudi Arabia. Hello, Bevin, and welcome onto my program. Okay, Bevin, how effective can parallel diplomacy be during times of crisis, and what exactly is it that Rodman hopes to achieve during his trip to North Korea?
I think that parallel diplomacy can be effective. For example, Rodman's talking about basketball diplomacy. Well, you know, if those of us who are a certain age can remember Richard Nixon and ping pong diplomacy, that ping pong diplomacy worked. It provided a context for back channels communications, and you set the stage for more peaceful talks. And it doesn't matter that Rodman might be a controversial figure. I think that he definitely can achieve something. He can help smooth the way to better relations with North Korea if there is a will on the American side, of course.
Okay, so the next thing I want to ask you about is how North Korea just released the U.S. student that was in prison, and South Korea recently delayed deployment of THAAD. So how do you think Rodman's trip plays into the prospects that some sort of breakthrough can be achieved?
I strongly suspect that because of the timing, that the release of the American student was definitely, there definitely was a relationship between, you know, Rodman's trip and the student's release. It's just too coincidental to be, you know, anything other than, cause and effect there. As far as the, THAAD deployment, I would be less optimistic about Rodman as it personally having an impact on any breakthrough there. That's a somewhat more, you know, a kind of a more heavyweight issue. I'm not sure that a basketball celebrity would necessarily be able to affect something as serious as the missile deployment. That's my take on it.
Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you then is, Rodman's already been in North Korea several times before, so regardless of the outcome of this visit, do you think that he will continue to be used as a channel of parallel diplomacy with North Korea? And if so, to what effect?
You know, that involves a lot of guesswork. You know, it depends on a lot on Donald Trump. I don't think that Rodman, that we should look down our nose at Rodman merely because he's somewhat eccentric. You know, the fact is that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is something of an eccentric himself. I mean, he's a former reality TV show host, and, you know, even his supporters acknowledge that he's kind of a bull in a china shop. But I do think that if Trump has the desire to use Rodman as a back channel for parallel diplomacy, he can, and he definitely should. It can only help. It can't hurt. You know, relations with North Korea are so bad now, nothing is going to hurt it. That would be my take on it.
Okay, Bevin, well, thank you so much for offering your take on this very important topic, and I was delighted to have you on my program today. Thank you again. All right, now we're going to see what Dr. Leonid Petrov has to say. He is a visiting fellow at the College of Asia and the Pacific at the Australian National University.
Trendstorm.
All right, what do you think are the chances that Rodman can pull off what professional diplomats can't, and that's help reach a breakthrough to the North Korean missile crisis?
I don't think that Dennis Rodman can do anything about the North Korean nuclear or missile program. I think that what Dennis Rodman is doing is just simply adding a human touch to the second track type of diplomacy, not even between the United States, because he doesn't represent Washington at all, but say between the people of the world and the North Korean leader, who hasn't been accepted anywhere else. He didn't visit Beijing or Moscow. He is not going to visit South Korea, but he's welcoming the leaders of the world, like South Korean president or envoys from the neighboring powers, to come to Pyongyang and talk about the security of the region, about the future of the inter-Korean relations. And I think that Dennis Rodman is doing the great job in linking the sports fans around the world with one fan of basketball in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. But North Koreans are also very passionate fans of this sport. And I think that every visit, and it's Dennis Rodman's fifth visit to North Korea, I think the focus is on people-to-people diplomacy rather than an attempt to resolve the security issues. It is diplomacy, but it's not formal one. It's something what we call second track or informal.
Okay, so what's your understanding of why South Korea decided to delay the THAAD deployment, and North Korea interestingly followed up by releasing the imprisoned American student? Because that's the context in which this whole visit is taking place. Are they connected in any way? And even if they're not, how do they both affect the crisis dynamics as a whole?
Well, I think that the visit of Dennis Rodman, and on the same day the news that the imprisoned U.S. citizen Otto Wombia is being released from detention and sent home to the United States, interrelated events. I think that it has been pre-mediated, and perhaps Dennis Rodman, Kim Jong-un, and the U.S. State Department had some sort of agreement on what is going to happen in these days of June. Whether Dennis Rodman is linked anyhow to the South Korean actions, I don't think so, because it's simply inter-Korean matter. between Seoul and Pyongyang what to do about the U.S.-sponsored installation of anti-missile defense system in South Korea. And it looks like it was just a gesture of goodwill from the South Korean side to suspend the installation or deployment of the THAAD system. While North Koreans definitely welcome this move, but also the Chinese, the Russians, the regional powers must now sigh the sort of relief that this system is not going to be deployed, at least for the time being, because the security situation in the region actually dictates sort of a conservative approach to the deployment of new technology, and the presence of U.S. troops in South Korea and deployment of new weapons actually destabilizes or brings the new dimension to the security dilemma, which exists on the Korean Peninsula for the last six decades. So again, I think that Dennis Rodman somehow performs or some acts as a mediator between the United States and North Korea on the one hand, but also the president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, also formulates his own policy. And this is a good gesture, goodwill gesture towards North Korea. So now both sides, the United States and South Korea, are open for discussion with North Korea, but I think they do it separately in parallel, and I don't think there's much of interconnection.
Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you is, given the two latest developments that we just discussed, plus Rodman's second-track diplomacy, what's your forecast for the future course of the North Korean crisis, and do you think it's reached a turning point?
The crisis continues, and it's unlikely to go away until Koreans in the North and the South decide to start talking about the terms of the peaceful resolution of this conflict. But apart from Koreans themselves, there should also be involvement from the U.S.-led coalition, and also the Chinese, the Russians also must play an important role. That's why the so-called six-party talks are organized in the early 2000s to discuss the peaceful resolution of the nuclear problem on the peninsula, and generally resolving the tensions which have been inherited from the Cold War era. Unfortunately, the six-party talks were frozen in 2011, and since then there was no connections or discussions between the six parties. So I believe that inter-Korean relations are key to the resolution of this crisis in general, so that everything is ready now for Seoul and Pyongyang to start talking directly. And President Moon Jae-in of South Korea promised that his first foreign trip would be to Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea. That would be useful to see the leaders of two Korean states talking. But without the support from the United States, from China, from Russia, from Japan, it's unlikely that the leaders of two Koreas are going to agree on the easing of the tensions. So the forecast would be to watch the actions of the new president of the United States, Donald Trump. And we saw in the previous months that Washington's move towards Korean Peninsula, major military assets, the naval air carriers and nuclear bombers, were not going to be very useful in order to peacefully resolve the problem. If President Trump decides to take another approach and sort of start negotiating with Pyongyang rather than threatening, this would be another key solution to the Korean problem, because China and Russia have been long-standing supporters of the diplomatic solution, but the United States continued to push for the military resolution. So any forecast for the solution of the tensions will be linked to the U.S. administration decisions. So all eyes are on Washington.
All right, Dr. Petrov, thank you very much. That was pretty interesting, and I was happy that you shared that with our audience today. Thank you. So, folks, if we think about what Bevin and Dr. Petrov both share with us today.
Trendstorm.
I think that, yes, I mean, it's very interesting. It's almost like a curiosity of sorts that Dennis Rodman is in North Korea. But at the same time, for as much media attention as his visit may get, we can't get our hopes up too high. But at the same time, Kim Jong-un is very close friends with Dennis Rodman. It's very curious. It's very interesting. We don't know how they struck up the friendship, but nonetheless, it exists. And we see that Kim Jong-un already released the imprisoned American student on humanitarian grounds. So let's see what else might happen with this visit. At the end of the day, it's better than nothing. At least the two sides are talking. And Dennis Rodman has, interestingly enough, turned out to be one of the chief intermediaries between the U.S. and North Korea. So let's see what happens. And folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonicknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Spoonik. It was presented by me, Andrew Korupko. Thank you for listening, and take care.